This is Beyond the Headlines on KUNR. I'm David Stipik, joined in the studio by Al Stavitsky, Dean of the Reynolds School of Journalism here on campus. Al, welcome to the station.
Always great to be here.
It's the Reynolds School Media Watch segment. We're going to get to all the controversy surrounding the Rolling Stone coverage that surfaced over the last week or so. Some controversy in the journalism world that's been much talked about. Want to talk more about that. But first, we're going to just give a couple of highlights of the semester here at the Reynolds School, because graduation for the fall semester has just happened, and actually finals are still going on as we speak, kind of wrapping up. So talk about that for just a moment.
I'd be happy to, David. We had a terrific semester at the Reynolds School, a lot of student achievement. We had some great public and community events, faculty success, and even just the other night had a great celebration. Our emeritus faculty member, Bourne Morris, whom folks may know, she really was the legendary advertising professor here for many years.
That's right.
And now in retirement, she has turned to writing mystery novels. And there was a terrific event at Sundance to mark the publication of her book, The Red Queen's Run.
It sounds mysterious already.
Well, and I can tell you that it features the murder of a journalism dean, though Bourne has told me it is in no means based on the current occupant of the office in the Reynolds School.
And what else? What happened this semester?
Well, let me start with the students, because ultimately it's all about them.
Yeah.
We had a couple of student groups attend some national conferences recently. The Public Relations Student Society of America kids went to Washington, D.C. for the PRSA International Conference. Similarly, on the advertising side, our Ad Club students went to the American Advertising Federation's Insight and Interaction Student Conference, also in Washington, D.C.
And
on the news side, our Nevada Media Alliance students are going to present their work on Reno's startup economy, and they're preparing to cover the legislature next semester. So just proud of the student work from freshmen through graduate students.
Yeah, you mentioned there was also some awards and various things along the way.
Well, we had some students win some very prestigious national scholarships and in being invited to participate in New York Times programs and other national events. So Reynolds School students are going to be well represented all over the country next semester in their internships and as part of special competitions and workshops. And we're just real proud of them all.
And you're listening to KUNR's Beyond the Headlines. I'm David Stipik. We're in the middle of our Reynolds School Media Watch segment today. Our guest is Al Stavitsky, Dean of the Reynolds School here on campus at the university. The biggest story of the week has been what the coverage that Rolling Stone provided for this pretty tough topic. But as it's played out, it's been very intriguing. What's the latest?
As folks probably have heard, Rolling Stone had a very prominent story featuring the nationwide problem with sexual assault on campus, but focusing on the situation at the University of Virginia in Charlottesville. And the piece began with, and really the emotional heart of the piece was a report of a gang rape at a fraternity house, which really, you know, shocked the nation and sparked, you know, national commentary, even, you know, in Washington among leading politicians and the president.
And there's no doubt that this is a nationwide issue that the people need to take seriously. But then there's been a twist in it here.
Right. And what happened, David, was in the wake of the Rolling Stone report, other news organizations, notably The Washington Post, began their own reporting and cast some doubt on that central focus of the story, which was the alleged gang sexual assault. And after some of that reporting, Rolling Stone a couple of days ago published a note to its readers backing away from the story, saying it now had reservations about the article, acknowledging that the Rolling Stone reporters had erred in relying solely on the word of the of the accuser and not contacting the alleged assailants in the story, which is sort of central tenet of journalism, is if you're going to level these sorts of charges and criticisms, you give folks a chance to respond. And in this case, the accuser had asked the reporter not to contact the alleged assailants. The reporter did not. And now there are all sorts of questions being raised about it. What's at the heart of this, though, David, is you know, as you alluded to, I mean, there's this clearly is a major nationwide problem. But now, because of sort of a lack of trust in this particular story, the whole situation has been sort of cast in doubt.
How does this kind of stuff happen? I mean, this happens occasionally. We hear of a book an author that made facts up, or journalists that didn't do due diligence. How at this level, stature of the Rolling Stone magazine, how does that happen?
Well, it just shows that even at the highest levels of journalism, journalists are people and do make mistakes. And as we talk in our classes, and particularly the media ethics classes, this isn't a science, and journalists will handle stories in different ways, and in this case, this sort of key decision was not to contact the assailants, not to give them an opportunity to respond, and simply to go directly to press. And then they're now, in retrospect, you have editors saying they had some questions about the story, but the fact checker said that they felt all right at that point, and they agreed with the decision not to contact the alleged assailants because out of respect to the accuser. And one thing sort of led to another, and ultimately here we are.
Talk about the process that typically an organization would go through to vet this type of thing. You mentioned editors, fact checkers. There's a whole system. It's not like one reporter is going to put this online and suddenly it shows up. There's a whole team of people. How does that work?
This also speaks to the problem that we talk about in journalism of when you use anonymous sources, when in a situation like this, obviously there are very valid reasons to do so, because some trauma, it's generally accepted, happened to the accuser, though the particular facts are now in some question, but her name has not been revealed. The names of the various accused assailants have not been revealed. And so in a situation like that, where you don't have the kind of transparency that you usually have, it really comes down to the relationship and the trust between the reporter and the editor. And the reporter is saying, trust me on this one, I got it. And the editor saying, okay. And then ultimately now it's the Rolling Stone editor saying, I have serious questions about what happened, and I am at this point not ready to say what happened that night, Rolling Stone editor Will Dana said. And there should never be a story in Rolling Stone where I feel that way.
Again, this is the big media story of the week, journalism and ethics involved, and a tough topic, how it undermines a story that's very important to explore. Talk about the hit that credibility for journalists everywhere take every time one of these things happens.
Well, these are difficult times for journalists, and there are folks who don't trust traditional legacy journalists, and any time there is a major mistake like this, the hit it causes some damage, and it takes a while to kind of build back up. But it only underscores that this is a very human enterprise, and it also underscores for us as journalism educators, the need to really, stress the importance of ethics. And we're very proud that, of our ethics curriculum, and the fact that it's a required class and everybody's got to go through it. And you can bet, David, that our faculty have been talking about this in numerous settings and drilling this cautionary tale into our students.
And let's wrap up with once they got it wrong, did the Rolling Stone magazine get it right and how they have gone forward from that point, or still in the middle of trying to sort all that out?
I think it took a lot of courage to back away from the story and to admit very publicly that this, you know, huge story that may have been the most significant piece of journalism they produced in a long time, that they got aspects of it wrong. And so though they made the mistake, it was honorable that they came clean as soon as they realized that the error had been made, and they are continuing now to report the story.
Well, thank you very much. We will be following that as developments warrant. This is the Reynolds School Media Watch segment on KUNR's Beyond the Headlines. I'm David Stipik. It's always great to have Al Stavitsky, the dean of the Reynolds School of Journalism, here with us on campus, just a few buildings away, but nice to have you as a neighbor. Nice to have you in the studio again.
Always a pleasure, David.
Thanks for coming by.